We're going to keep going with the letter to the Ephesians. But before we go to the letter, I just want to share something with you. I know Jeremy Smith has been coming and preached, right? His mom just passed away a few hours ago, so he had to go to Texas. So I just want to share that with you so you can just pray for him, his family. Last time I asked him about his mom, he said he didn't know if she was saved. So, but, you know, we know that the Lord is in control, and just pray for him. And also something else that I want to share with you, we are going back to Costa Rica, and I just want to share this with you because it's been exciting for me to be part of this community. And, you know, the Lord is doing so many things internationally, and we all feel part of what God is doing all around the world. And Pastor Paul and I were going for the second time to Costa Rica because we have about 60 pastors who want to get trained. Everybody, when people see Central America, they think that the gospel is well established there. But the truth is, the gospel is very shallow, because we have many missionaries coming, but they're coming to teach a prosperity gospel or things that are not biblical. So churches grow, but not with a healthy theology. And we have this opportunity to bring resources, because in Spanish we don't have that many resources as you do in English. But we have the opportunity now to bring resources from the seminary to Costa Rica. So you can be praying for that. It's a blessing, and we're excited. So we'll see what God is going to do there. And I'm going to pray, and we can start with this letter. I'm just going to pray. Lord, thank you so much for this afternoon and the blessing that we have to come together and have the freedom, Lord, to study your word and just have fellowship. And I pray that you can transform our lives and we can live according to your will. And thank you for this church that is a place where people can come and grow in you. And I just bless you, Lord, because this is a blessing to be here. Amen. So you have been reading the book, the letter to the Ephesians. And this is the passage that we're going to study today. It's taking a little bit of a shift of what Paul has been talking in the previous passages. And before I start talking, we start reading before we start reading this passage, I want to share this with you. I know we know this, but since sin entered to the world, man has been divided. First, we lost our relationship with Christ. And then, as a consequence, we have division in families, we have division in communities, in friendships, and all these things. So it seems like there is so much hopelessness. And you see what the world's going through right now, especially the United States, how divided it is by politics or ideologies and all these things that we see. And we just put walls because we want to protect ourselves. And they're walls that are good, because as the church, we have to be separated from all these things. But in the middle of these divisions also, Paul is saying that there is hope, because that division also happened in the church, within the church. But Paul is saying, he's going to talk in this letter about the hope that we have to be one as a church. So we're going to read from Ephesians 2, 11. We won't read all the way through 13 because it's going to be long, but I'm going to just read a couple of verses. I'm going to stop and we'll see what the word says. So Ephesians 2:11 says, "Therefore, remember that at one time you Gentiles in the flesh, called the uncircumcision by what was called the circumcision, which is made in the flesh by hands, remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. We're going to stop there for a second. So we see this word, and we have to pay attention to when we see words like this, because he used the word therefore. And that's because he has been saying something before. And usually when you see that word therefore, we have to take action, or it's a response in the part of the audience to what has been said before. And if you remember before, Paul has been talking about that we have been saved, we were dead, but we are made alive in Christ, and now we have salvation. Actually, let me just read it here. It says, by grace you have been saved. That's 2:5, at the end of 5. It says, by grace you have been saved. And then he says in 9, verse 9, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. And then he says, he's saying, you are saved and you have done anything. This is the grace of God. Therefore, you have to respond this way. So that's our part right now. We're going to see what he's saying. And then he said, remember, Gentiles. He's calling them to remember. And he said, remember twice in this part. He said, remember that you call the uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision. This has a very deep meaning. And is that because the Gentiles were separated from the covenant that was given by God to the Jews. So we only, in the Bible, we only find two groups of people, the Jews and the Gentiles, and everybody else. And that means that the chosen people and the rest of the world. So, but if we read it, we just think about that division, but that division was very deep. Sometimes the word uncircumcised was used in an offensive way. I don't know if you remember when David was fighting with Goliath, and he said, who's this uncircumcised coming to find the God of hosts? He was mad. And those words were used because the Jews actually were taught not to mix with the Gentiles. So there was a wall that divided them. And that division has been for centuries. You can read about it, and when you understand that division and you read this, you get a more appreciation of what God is doing in this passage. Because it's like oil and water. They cannot mix. And that's how this part talks about how the Jews view the Gentiles. And just think about this. The Jews, they were trained with scriptures. They had morality, and their morality came from the scriptures. They, as I told you, were taught not to even talk to the Gentiles. And now you have the Gentiles who were immoral. They had many gods. They were unclean. When their parts were, in the Bible, talks about the Gentiles as dogs. And in our culture, it's kind of hard to understand those things too, because now dogs are part of the family, right? But at that time, if you go to Central America, you might have a little picture of what it is, because you're going to see a lot of street dogs. But this was a term that the picture that they had in their mind of the Gentiles was very unclean. So just keep that in mind when we're reading this, because now Paul is going to talk about unity. In reading this, I got a little challenge. And I don't know about you, but watching what's happening, you see a portion of the news And then you see this, all these ideologies that are going on. And sometimes, because we watch these news, we already put a wall. And we hesitate sometimes even to share the gospel with somebody because they don't have the same ideologies that we have. And we have to put walls to separate ourselves from the world. But at the same time, there were walls of hostility that Paul is going to mention here later. And I was challenged because sometimes I will see things that in politics we know that are wrong, but then we use that as an excuse to not share the gospel with others. Instead, we just accuse them or kind of we put a wall and we don't want to know anything about them. So this is a challenge for us to share the gospel and not put walls when it's not necessary. So let's keep reading. And it says, I just want to point something here before we read 13. It says, you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. So we see this list, and this list is very important too, because when he's talking about being separated from Christ, remember the Jews, they were expecting a Messiah, but the Gentiles, they didn't. They didn't know about that hope that was waiting for the Jews. For what we know in the Old Testament, Gentiles had no hope in their view, right? In the view of the Jews, the only people, because they were waiting for their Messiah, was going to save them, and it was more like a political figure for them. But the Gentiles didn't have that. That's why they went to all these gods. So they were without Christ, without hope. And then he said, you were without God. That word without God in Greek means atheos, what we know now as an atheist. And even though they had all these gods, they were considered atheists because they didn't have the true God. And now he gives this list to them. And then this word is a very nice word that you find a lot in the scriptures. And it says, but now in Christ, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in the ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace. Let's stop there for a minute. So that wall of hostility, he's talking about, we don't know really, but many scholars think that he's talking about the literal wall that was in the temple. There was a wall, and there is a historian called Josephus, and he was in the first century. He was a historian, very known historian, and he said that in the entrance of the temple, there was a sign written in Greek, and that sign said, no Gentiles can enter to the temple. And he says, whoever is caught will have himself to blame for his subsequent death. So that wall divided the Gentiles and the Jews. So now, having that picture now, just think about this. Paul is going to be talking about unity. But how hard it was for the Jews to accept these people who they were unclean. You know, if you see all the commitments and you see the way the Jews used to live to honor God, you'll be amazed of the things that even they're not scriptural, but they made laws because they, at some point, they thought God is not listening to us, because there were 400 years of no prophet talking before Christ came. There were 400 years a gap, and they made rules. That's why when Christ came, they said that he came and broke the law, because Christ wasn't following the man-made laws that they made, all those rituals they made, because they thought, God is not listening to us, we must do more things so he can listen to us. So now, having that picture, let's keep reading, because he said, who has made, in 14, for him himself is our peace. Okay, this is very important too. He's not saying, this is beyond a command, because he's saying that he himself, Christ, is our peace. That means, you remember, the book of Ephesians says that we have been sealed by the Holy Spirit. So it's a work that the Holy Spirit is doing from the inside out. We can fake peace. We can be hypocrites. We can pretend to love somebody or like somebody. But when he's talking that Christ himself is our peace, that means it's going to be genuine peace and love to our brothers. But we can find that only, we can only find that in Christ. Right? Because this is, I don't know, it blows my mind, because for he himself is our peace. And then he said, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in the ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man. That phrase is talking about that one new man. He's saying that's bringing Jews and Gentiles together to be one. And it has been done in him, in Christ. In place of the two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. When we read this word, killing the hostility, that's a very powerful statement too, because he's saying that he's killing the hostility. He's not stopping that, he's not just taking it away, but he's killing it. That means it cannot come back. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who were near. For through him, we both have access in one spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellows, citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. So when you have a picture about this division, I think the rest of the passage, it becomes more clear. And now he's talking about that unity of the church. But we also, as churches, sometimes we can face division. And Paul is telling us that if we are in Christ, he will kill the hostility. He will kill all these things. And the reason that he does that is because if you see all the characteristics of somebody who is without Christ and somebody who is in Christ, your whole identity changes. And I think I said last time, if you can clearly tell when was the point where God transformed your life, because that's part of our testimony. I can tell you when I was saved, I can draw a line and say, God has been changing my heart and my mind since that moment. When I can think back and say, God has been working in my life, because I don't think as I used to think. And that's what Paul is telling me. Remember who you were without Christ, but remember who you are now in Christ. And the devil is gonna try to discourage you, right? And you might fail sometimes, and you feel like you don't belong to the family. But then he comes and he said that he's building the church. And that's why we gather as a church. Because there is a work that is happening in the church. Somebody can say, I'm a believer, but if this person never comes to church and is not part of that community, of that family, how can we see the work of God in their lives? And I'm not saying that cannot happen, because there is people that are missionaries that are by themselves, but that's a different issue. We as the saints, we have been called to be united, be together. And that's what we do here. That's why we come, and we come to God's word, because there is no hope, really, in this world. Paul said that you were with no hope in the world. And you see, then he talks about the unsearchable riches of God. And if you think about the unsearchable riches, is because it's impossible to search for something that you don't know is there. You know, is but Christ, when he was revealed to us, for us it's easy right now because we have the scriptures and we have Christ, and when we see Christ now, we see the whole plan. But the Gentiles didn't see that in the beginning. So for them, when Christ was revealed, I can imagine the joy that they had to be part of the same promises that the Jews were, that we are now. Unless you are by blood a Jew. I think everybody here is a Gentile. I don't know. But we know that the Lord has had working in this plan from the beginning, because we read this passage and some people can think, well, why did God waited so long to save the Gentiles? In the Old Testament, the Gentiles were able to be saved, as we read in Ruth, right? Naomi came and said, I will follow you and I will worship your God. That was the way to become saved at the time. But right now we have a world where it's looking, well, let's read, because this is going to give us a little more understanding. And this is a long passage, and I don't want to go too long. It says, for this reason, I, Paul, prisoner of Christ, on behalf of you Gentiles, assuming that you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for you, how the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I have written briefly. When you read this, you can perceive my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to the sons of men in other generations, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. This mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. So when you read this, you might think, how did God, why did he wait so long, right, to save the Gentiles? But the truth is that that's the plan that has been for all eternity. And if you remember, the promise to Abraham was that through him, the families of the world were going to be blessed. And the reason I think why he says that is a mystery that has been revealed is because first we have Jesus, and he was that revelation. The mystery is that the Jews, they thought that they were going to be the only ones the only ones that were going to be saved. The surprise was that it was everybody. And now we are part of that. That's why it was hard for them to accept these people that they consider dirty and unclean, unworthy. And now Christ has brought them together. So now that we know that it's been a plan that's been there for eternity, and then he says, I was in 7. Of this gospel, I was made a minister according to the gift of God, of God's grace, which was given me by the working of his power. To me, though I'm the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things, so that through the church the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was according to the eternal purpose that he has realized in Christ Jesus, our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in him. So I ask you not to lose heart over what I'm suffering for you, which is your glory. So Paul was in jail at the time, and he's telling them, don't get discouraged because I'm in jail, because everything I'm suffering, and he's talking about the stewardship of God, because God has trusted him this message of salvation for the Gentiles. So it's part of the process of his calling. And Paul also, I don't know if you remember, if you have read Acts, that Paul got in trouble once because he brought a Gentile to the temple, and that's that's the reason why he was in jail first. It wasn't a crime really, but he brought a Gentile and they put him in jail because he was training somebody who wasn't allowed in the temple. Now, we read this and it's challenging. The truth is, it's very challenging. Because I had to repent of not sharing the gospel with someone one time because I put that wall of hostility, because when I was going to the streets in Costa Rica, we were going to preach the gospel with the ministry I was working, but we will see some guys and we kind of pick and choose who we want to share the gospel with sometimes. And who are we, you know, to do that? We shouldn't do that, but there are walls that we have to put sometimes to be separated from the world. But there are walls that are going to keep us from sharing the gospel and from loving our brothers. And right now, it's difficult, you know, because ideologies, politics, and all these things can bring many divisions. And some of them are, you know, with a good reason, you know, with the things that are happening. Sometimes we need to be careful because we're protecting our families, we're protecting our kids. But when you put a wall that is not necessary, I think we are disobeying God. And I just want to encourage you to just think about your life. If there's walls that you have against somebody, it doesn't have to be in the church. It can be outside of the church, family, friends. And I think Paul is telling us that if we are in Christ, we cannot be divisive. It's not in the nature of a Christian. And I'm challenged through this. I am very challenged. Because sometimes, even in families, we have divisions. But it's a sin when we have division in the church. with our brothers, who we are fellow heirs of all the blessings that God has for us. So I just want to encourage you, and I want to encourage you because we know that we all fall short, you know. But at the same time, Paul is telling us, if you are in Christ, that hostility and that division is dead. It won't come back. And that's where we find joy. And also, when he says, don't lose heart, how many times, I know this because I have my kids, but when you were a kid or if you have kids, you have been in trouble because you didn't have fun somewhere. You know, we take our kids to the zoo or somewhere, and they're complaining, and they don't like what they're watching or looking, and we tell them, well, you have to rejoice because we paid for this, you know. So sometimes, because they don't appreciate what they have, and they're not enjoying that. And sometimes Paul does that to us, because it's a commitment. It's a duty for a believer to rejoice and be joyful. And so I'm just gonna pray, and I'm glad we're studying Ephesians, because it's a great book. It's very challenging, and every time you go through it, the Lord is gonna speak to you, and you can read it 100 times, and the Lord is gonna challenge you every single time. So, Lord, thank you so much for this afternoon, and thank you for your word and the things that we are learning in this place. And I just pray that just give us wisdom, Lord, in our daily walk, and how can we love our brothers and sisters, and also how can we love those who don't know you, Lord? How can we share the gospel without putting walls? And I just pray that you will give us more boldness to just share the gospel and just remember who we were without you and who we are in Christ. Thank you, Lord. Amen. I'm going to sing one more song.
join me as we close in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Enjoy the warmth these next couple of days.